G'day, it is Brownie and Dwayne from Wall of Sound. We are hanging out at Knotfest in Brisbane for the final day of this East Coast run.
Yeah, we've got a big day, got a few interviews up our belt. We've got The Who, we've got Hailstorm, King Parrot,
Disturbed, Wage War. We're going to go all behind the scenes and show you what happened. But Dwayne, what's the word of the day?
Hostile.
Andy Marsh from Thy Art Is Murder has awoken from his slumber and he's joined us on the couch. Mate, welcome.
What's going on?
You know what's funny?
What's funny?
Last year, we did a fake interview.
Fake interview?
For Knotfest.
Yep.
Where you were just hanging out around.
Because I was at Knotfest.
Correct. And then now you're playing Knotfest. Could you say that we manifested that here at Wall of Sound?
I would say that you solely manifested that.
Good.
We wouldn't be here without you.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure because I'm loving Thy Art Is Murder, returning to Australia for some of the biggest shows you've played here with your new frontman. We'll get to that in a second. But your launch of Tyler in Thy Art Is Murder was at the Marrickville Bowls Club.
Yep.
And that's going down in history as the very first show with Tyler in Australia.
I guess so. It was like a government stimulus thing for music or something. So
yeah,
they said, we want you to...
Southern Nights thing.
Yeah. And they were like, we want you to play a show in Marrickville at the Bowls Club specifically. So we did it.
With a band of your stature, you'd look at that and go, post-COVID, we're not going to say no to anything? Or do you see that as a challenge nowadays?
No. We're like, look, it's always good to give back to the community, and they were trying to do something proactive. Anytime the government wants to get involved, it's like, take what you can get. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's tough to get them motivated, and for them to say, we want a death metal band to play, I was like, well, hey, like, we just have to do it. What else are they going to do? Like, get a top 40 band or someone from Triple J? It's like, all right, they're doing that too. Now they're interested in metal. Like, if we say no, like, Parkway obviously is
we'll
just so
in, yeah.
ginormous. I don't think they could do it. So we're like, hell yeah, we'll do it.
And I love it because it's going to become one of those shows that goes down in history. I mean, when you talk about the upcoming metal bands, Parkway, Amity, all of that over the years, they slogged their way through those kind of venues back in those early years to become the titans that they are now.
Juggernauts.
Now, for you to go back and play a bowls club, do you laugh on stage when you're sitting there going, hey, we've just played festivals around the world and now we're playing a bowlsy?
Oh, no, we love it. Like, honestly love it. When you play aggressive music, there's so much of the show is part of the visceral energy that you get from being in tiny clubs and people are in your face yelling at you and you're performing heavy music to them. And it's this sort of cycle of who's feeding off of whose energy really at the end of the day. As the bands get bigger, obviously that's a great thing and it's helping promote our band or our bands becoming more successful. It's helping lift up other bands that play in similar genres. But you do start to miss a little bit of that chaos.
Yeah.
So to have a small show, we probably get a handful, I'd say, every couple of years. In European festival season, obviously, you can't play headline shows in between because a lot of them overlap with the territory that the festival is servicing.
And for those who don't know, you ideally would sign a contract that says you can't play a show either side of that festival by a number of days, right?
Correct. If the festival sells out, then they may be like, they may say, hey, we'll allow it. Or also they'll say, we'll allow it to be announced after you perform at the festival. And they'll also have a capacity restriction. They're not trying to ruin our lives, but I understand that you put on a very expensive festival. They don't want bands disappearing and taking away people that would go to the festival.
Correct, yeah.
So we'll get the opportunity maybe twice a summer to go, all right, they said that we're allowed to do one. Let's do a secret show at like a 300 cap club and just tear it up. And they're always some of the funnest shows every year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's good to see that you're still, even though becoming the titans that you are in your own regard, you're still happy to play those shows. Now, Tyler joined the band and you debuted him all across Europe, the UK. How's the reception been?
The reception's been terrific. I mean, the European tour that we did in October, November last year was the biggest headline tour that we've ever done. By a significant margin. I think it's almost twice the amount of tickets sold as our next biggest tour ever, which is insane. I was very, very happy with it. Kids seemed happy. Promoters were very happy. And, you know, I guess they were so happy they decided to follow it up by offering us a massive European summer tour this year, which is the biggest we've ever done.
Well, I mean, you know, the momentum keeps going and then obviously you come back to Australia, you jump on Knotfest and you get to play for Australian fans. It goes without saying there's obviously mixed opinions. For those who have opinions, they're like buttholes, everyone's got one. But from what we've seen, the crowd turning out to each of these Knotfest shows has been fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like seeing a lot of, I guess the last time we did one of these would have been download or Good Things a few years ago, possibly even like pre-COVID. So seeing new faces, I mean, it sounds crazy to think, oh, you can recognize 15,000 people, but there's just something when you look out in a crowd, you can tell if you've seen them before.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a few faces where you go, hang on, I remember that crazy guy from the other year in the banana costume. But there's a lot of new faces, which is always exciting, you know.
Yeah.
In order for a band to grow, a scene to grow, a genre to grow, there have to be new people coming to shows. Otherwise, if I just saw you every day, it would just be...
You'd get fucking sick of me, wouldn't you?
Army of one, and we go, well, Brownie turns up every Sunday, but no one else does. So... that's really exciting as
yeah.
well. Super encouraging.
And I guess, you know, having a festival like Knotfest where you've got Pantera and Disturbed at the top of the list, like, that's the dad rock, the dad metal from way back in the 90s. And they're bringing their kids along, and their kids are obviously bringing their dads along to see Thy Art Is Murder. And I would imagine that there's a bunch of dads out there going, this is way too fucking heavy for me. I don't know what they're fucking saying.
You never know, you know? Like, we did a tour with Cannibal Corpse a few years ago, and I don't want to, like... assume people's ages, but I'd say the majority of the fan base was 40, maybe even 45 plus.
Yeah.
So we were playing to a lot of old metalheads, and that was also on the flip side, like our major fan base now is like 25 to 35 or something.
Yep,
because they've grown up with the band. We want to play to younger generations because they're the future of where music's heading.
Exactly. Yep,
but also it's nice to play to older folks and show them like this scene that you supported and grew in the 90s is still going, and here's what we're doing with it.
It's quadrupled or however much more it's got, and then more people are coming out. And because all those old metalheads had kids, what do the kids do? They're not going to sit at home and listen to dad's old records.
Yeah, exactly. One of those things. It's the cycle of metal. Most metalheads aren't putting on top 40 for the kids. I played my daughter Behemoth while she was in the womb. I just put headphones on there, blasting crazy death metal.
So did she come out crowd killing?
Nah, she's kind of into, like, Beauty and the Beast. I mean, my Spotify most played list every year happens to be whatever musical she's into
Disney,
year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there you go.
Well, have you thought about appealing to younger audiences and obviously doing a Disney cover?
Nah, we're not going to do that.
Why not? You're too good. You're too good to do something like that.
I don't know.
Get out of your comfort zone get into the target of everyone and all the online bullies.
We shall see what we can achieve in the future.
Well, talking about what you want to achieve in the future, obviously this is your first run in Australia with Tyler outside of the Marrickville Bowls Club. Future plans, future shows, Aussies, are we looking something after the European tour?
I'm pretty mum about that at the moment, not because it's any secret, but because I'm just a little uncertain about what we're going to do. I've had a few things assembled, but plans keep changing. I mean, this European tour like ended up getting extended by 2 weeks because we just kept getting more offers for more festivals. And also, I'm planning for later in the year and early next year. I've got stuff planned out until 2026 now. So I'm just trying to not get overwhelmed with the work because a lot of these future tours require a lot of work now. We're doing this, and then, I mean, Kevin has to get on a flight tomorrow, and then I go on a flight on Wednesday, and then Jesse goes on a flight on Thursday, and we won't really be home until late July. So
yeah, right, okay, yeah.
I am a little, as we're getting older and playing so many shows, I don't want to send everyone out for nearly 3.5-4 months and go, hey guys, when you get home, there's another tour waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just want to gauge how everyone's going with the workload in the next month before we start committing to, like, more heavy touring.
I mean, well, you look at what Thy Art's done music-wise over the past year. You released the Aggression Sessions EP. You then released Godlike as well. Do you work on new music with Tyler at this point in time, or you just want to play shows and focus on getting back out there and doing that again?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got, 70-odd shows coming up, starting in, like, 2 weeks' time. And have been working on new music. I think I've got like 4 or 5 finished songs. I'm going to keep writing more.
Do you reckon it'd be like an EP situation or another full-length album?
I'm also keeping mum about that because I've got no bloody idea what I'm going to do. I have 4 or 5 finished songs and then probably like another 5 that are actually fully recorded but not finalized. So it's like basically an album's worth of material, but then we want to write like another album. So
it's a vicious cycle being a musician, isn't it?
It really is. Crazy. So it's like, you know, you got songs that you're working on, but then how do you feel about them? Sometimes you take a break and you feel really good about them. Sometimes you want to make like new stuff.
Something better than what you've been working on 2 years ago.
Yeah. And we are very fortunate. Another reason why we don't have to commit to too many touring plans every year these days is we started to realize that we were getting pretty burnt out. We were touring 10 months a year, and then in the 2 months off that we had, we were making a new album, and then as soon as that was done, we were working on setting up the new album.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, just team no sleep for a decade.
And because you obviously run Human Warfare as well, and you're working on two different continents, the US, Australia as well, it makes it hard for you to even sleep and function as a fucking human, so...
Well, I got plenty of sleep today. I slept through my alarm, so...
Well, make the most of it then in that case.
Yeah.
Partying like rock stars just means sleeping all day.
Yep.
Plenty in the pipeline for The Idol's Murder. Can't wait to see you guys destroy out there and the European festival circuit. You're going to fucking love it. All the best with the band moving forward. Mate, anytime you want to come back to Wall of Sound, we'll roll out the sleeping bag for you.
Thank you.
Sleep under the couch.
On the couch, yep.
This is Wall of Sound.
Smell you later.
Yeah.
Brisbane is absolutely winning the press tech game.
If you ain't roadcasting, you're not podcasting. That's what
yeah,
I say.
Big shout, exactly. Big shout out to Road. Thanks for sponsoring everything that Wall of Sound does. Because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you lot. As Knotfest continues, we are joined by the wonderful Connor and Liam from Wind Waker. Mm. Welcome, boys.
Hey, Brownie. Woo-hoo,
thank you for having us.
It's been way so long.
It's been way so long.
Way so long.
That does make sense, so we can own that.
Well, look, there's been a lot so that's happened long. Within Wind Waker camp, so let's try and encapsulate it all in this 15 minutes.
Okay.
You guys just put out the Enter the Wall EP, a nice little bridge from Love Language, perfect 10 out of 10 album, to where we are now. Was this released just for what's happening with Knotfest, essentially?
Yeah, essentially. I think we wanted to create a bit of a sampler of some of the new music that we'd been working on last year, and it just was timed perfectly to just come out right before Knotfest.
Yep.
We get to play a lot of new material for the shows, so yeah.
And then we get Connor obviously doing your keys and your programming behind the scenes and
all that.
Yeah.
How have you found falling into Wind Waker? Have you had to get some loose antics before you join the band, or are you a loose cunt behind the scenes?
Well, look, I'll phrase it this way, right? These guys... Wait, we can swear, right?
Fuck yeah, we can.
I just thought I'd triple check.
He just said loose cunt.
Right,
I think we're good.
If the threshold of being a loose cunt in Wind Waker is like, with respect, like my, you know, like 27, 28 year old bandmates.
Correct, yeah.
I'm 23, bro.
Oh, God,
so
I
promise I'm way worse.
So you're going to be the one that they're dragging after the after party.
Yeah,
tonight,
he's got way more energy than the rest of us.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Now, how have you found the transition? Because obviously you had quite a few lineup changes. Liam, you came back to the band. Connor, you joined. And then we've just seen the Wind Waker shows evolve with that new sound, the new synth. It's almost like you've... I don't want to say you've leveled up because you're always getting to that point, but you've added a whole new dynamic that takes you from club show band to fucking festival band.
Yeah.
Are you feeling that within the band?
I think that's the goal, really, is to always be making music that translates to those bigger stages, you know? At one point in time, you know, playing a smaller venue, yeah, you can afford to be a little bit more noodly and a bit... But, like, when you've got that so much air and space in between, you know, making those sounds that just have more impact.
And, like, the live show is something that, you know, like, it takes so much design and forethought ahead of time, and that has been, like, a building concept that we've adjusted every tour for the last, like, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's getting to a point now where we can, like, really roll it out and be proud of it. But it's been 2.5 years of, like, okay, what didn't work on this tour? Change it. What didn't work on this tour? Change it. Yeah.
And now you've got new directions. I mean, you guys are heading overseas for the very first time.
Yeah. Very first.
Please tell us, how's Wind Waker feeling about venturing outside of Australia?
Unbelievably keen.
Yeah, exactly. Just very grateful to have the opportunity to go play outside of our home country. And we've developed quite a loyal fan base in the streaming world.
Correct,
from America.
Yeah.
So getting an opportunity to showcase our show, you know, over there is incredibly great, you know.
As musicians, I've never ventured out of Australia before, am I right?
No, yeah,
that?
That's
no,
right. As musicians, yeah, never been.
So I'm guessing you're obviously talking to your Alpha Wolfsy Polarises, asking them for advice about what do we do, how do we handle the crowd kind of thing? Like, or are you just going into it going, we're Wind Waker, fucking suck it up?
Well, little from column A, definitely.
Yeah.
But also, we're so fortunate to be going over with Northlane and Thornhill.
Yeah.
So, like... That's 3 out of 4 Australians.
Just hanging out with your brothers, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much,
yeah.
Long time coming this tour, I think. Just this lineup in general,
yeah.
I think.
Everyone seems so stoked on it, too. I feel like, it's a... Maybe all those bands are like, you know, we're pretty common. We all get around in Australia, but I feel like it's a really cool lineup for America. Mm.
And it's great because, you know, all the eyes around the world are on Australia and what we're doing. And, you know, having seen Wind Waker play to 15 people at Big Sound to now playing on a stage with Pantera fans out there who you're exposing yourself to an audience that wouldn't normally come to a Wind Waker show, if
absolutely,
that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what's that like?
It's hard work because you're wanting to put your best foot forward. You're making your best first impression. At the same time, it's so early on in a festival, like, day. That people are still kind of getting warmed up a little bit,
yeah,
and people
yeah.
are they're open to like getting into it and letting go. You know, I think it's up to us to make sure that those bands later on in the day are having the best possible
correct
crowd.
You've amped everyone up. Yeah. Like, the last thing you want to do is have everyone break an actual physical leg, and then no one's around for the headliners yeah. because they went too hard at Windy.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, it'd be stupid to not mention it. Obviously, Love Language came out. The band then parted ways with Will, who's mm-hmm. gone off and done some amazing things with Psychology, mm-hmm. which is awesome to see. What have you learned from the aftermath of essentially putting out your debut album and then having like a massive change within the band and now putting out music and going forward? What's the mentality with Windy with all of that?
I feel like it's a little bit like releasing our first album again a little bit,
yeah,
you know, like
bit.
It's a new dynamic, it's new chemistry, but at the same time we're very fortunate to have that album out where we can go, This and this were really good. This worked, and this is what we'd like to improve on.
Yeah.
And I think this time around, we're really focusing on showing off the maturity in our songwriting, kind of getting a bit more focused while also still staying true to what we do. You know,
yeah.
we're still going to be genre bending. We're still going to try and experiment as much as we can, but also create those moments within the songs that just feel a little bit more focused.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. The big breakdowns, the big sound behind it all. I mean, obviously, you got a song like Trenches, which you play that at a festival like Knotfest, it's going to go down fucking amazingly. You got a song like The Wall, which is still catering to those heavy audiences, but with Will's voice and Liam, you've now adapted to your highs and your low screens, which is fantastic. It's kind of like Will was your brother, and he's departed, and then the other family members come in who's of the equivalent, which is, you know, a band can change a front person and it changes the band dynamic completely. But with Wind Waker, it's like, oh, it's just like home.
Yeah, absolutely. And it felt that way coming back and writing with everybody. So, and look, Will was someone that was very helpful in my development with the screams, like very early on. And, you know, he's never afraid to give me his honest feedback as well.
Perfect.
So,
excellent.
Yeah. So, no, he's actually like that as like a brother, like you said. Yeah.
Now, for those who have been coming to these shows across Knotfest, they'd notice, obviously, Jesse is on tour with Polaris through Europe right now. Tell us, who's the guitarist you've got filling in? What's his name? Where's he come from?
We've got Justin. He's actually one of Jesse's students. Guitar lesson students. He also plays in a band down in Melbourne called To Octavia.
That's where he came
from.
But
he works alongside Chris as well with recording, engineering, and that sort of thing
perfect.
As well. So he's just really switched on. He's just a great guy. And
is it important for you to have someone coming into the band like that who you know on a personal level, or would you apply for hey, if you can play guitar and shred hard, we'll take you on board?
I think we have a very strong work ethic in the band.
Correct.
And we need someone to come in that can match that. And it's hard to really gauge that unless you have that personal relationship.
Yeah.
So obviously when we were talking about it, we were like, Justin is one of the hardest workers we know just in his own right. Like, that's obviously going to make sense.
Like, Jesse is such an integral part of the personality
internally,
socially. So that's something we also have to consider as well, as that chemistry. And what's it going to be like, you know, traveling in a van for however many weeks and, you know...
See, there's all these dynamics to being in bands like that
absolutely.
People don't take into consideration. They think, oh, you just get on stage and then you get off and then you don't speak to each other. But it is a working unit, isn't it?
It is a working unit. It's really a family for us. Like, I think internally, I see everyone as like brothers, as I said. We really try to take care of each other.
I spend more time with this man than anyone else in my life.
And see, he's your band husband, so
exactly,
you need to make sure
that
it all works. Otherwise, you have that cut in the thing, and then next thing you know, you'll be Jordan fished out.
And you know what? We have a beautiful marriage.
Good, beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep it at that. Now, looking forward to the future, we've obviously heard this is the EP that's out, Enter the Wall.
Yep.
New music, where are we at with that? What's that looking like?
There's going to be a lot more singles coming out throughout the year. You know, that might eventuate into something else. But for the moment, I think we're just focusing on being consistent. Like I said earlier, we wrote a lot of new music last year. So we're very keen to get all of that out there.
Yeah,
so,
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, get overseas, dominate audiences. Don't forget about us back home,
never,
please.
Never.
Boys, absolute
hell
pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank
Thanks
you for stopping by.
Thank you so much, man.
No.
Lots of love.
No.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do any of that.
Coming in hot.
That's just a parrot. Don't worry.
G'day, everyone. It's Dwayne from Wall of Sound, and I'm sitting here at Knotfest with these two legends, Toddy and Youngie from King Parrot.
Hello.
How's the tour been so far? How is it? It's been a pretty massive run. You've gone from Adelaide, then the whole East Coast. How's it been?
Fantastic. Great crowds. We've been playing early on the Knotfest shows. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had a good turnout every morning. Today was probably the biggest. Melbourne was really big. Yeah. Sydney was good.
Today was great.
Yeah.
Today was good. The rain, I think, the rain brought some different energy, and I think they were excited to get out early.
Brizzy loves a bit of rain. We don't get much up here, so
Well, every other time I've been up here, it's been a sweatbox. So
we were worried it was almost going to have to be called an extreme weather event.
a bit of drizzle about. Yeah,
that we had some rain today. Yeah, but it was okay. It worked out all right in the
end.
Just
get your galoshes on and your bloody raincoats.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's a dude down the front had a nice poncho. Did you see him?
No.
Him and his wife had a poncho on. That was like, wow, that's a first in Brisbane.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think they sold them up here, so that's cool. But look, to me, it's a cherry on top of what's been a really big year for you guys. Youngie, I talked to you backstage at the Duke. I think it was back in August, maybe. It was before your US tour.
Yeah.
And I asked you about the Pantera support gigs, and I asked you if you'd be, how you felt about it, and you said, I won't believe it until it's happened. Now, it's happened in the US, and it's happened on home soil, including your hometown of Melbourne. Now that it's happened, can you believe it?
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, that's I think I did a post on our social, on my social media anyway, the day after we supported them for the first time in America, and I was like, all right, I can say it. We did it now. I just think growing up being Pantera fans as kids and then having the whole experience and then the build up to it and then, you know, planning around it. And it's like, this is pretty crazy. Because like a few years ago, we would never even thought this was possible. And then it's happening and we're doing it. And
yeah.
It's been awesome. And it's just such a great tribute to the brothers, you know. It's awesome. So it's really cool to have been a small part of it.
Also, like doing Walk on stage, going on there. Like I think it was you and Mr. White were up on stage doing Walk in your hometown. What's that like to look out at your mates and your home crowd? And will you be doing it today? You're a Brizzy boy.
Maybe. I've thought about it. I've done it once, but I sort of don't do that as much. Like I feel a bit, like a bit of a dork up there, you know, but I don't know because I'm always sitting behind a drum kit. Yeah. So then when I stand out the front, it's like, oh shit, what do I do?
How do you think I feel every fucking gig?
But you're used to it.
I've got the protection of
drums and cymbals. It's like, you know, I can hide my face, it's a totally different thing, right?
Though.
It's totally different.
I play bass in bands for years before I did this.
Yeah.
King Parrot. So I was always like behind playing bass, singing, whatever. And then as soon as I was up there, as just as a vocalist, it was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got to move. Like,
what do you do with your hands?
Scary.
am I walking right? Do I look like a doofus?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've done a couple of gigs as a lead vocalist fill in for some mates' bands, and I feel weird doing that.
Yeah,
too,
yeah. You feel very naked up there until you get comfortable with it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 10 years since I found out about you guys. I saw you at Soundwave in 2014. I think that's where you may have met Phil.
Yep.
And 10 years later, you still got the opening slot on the festival, but this one's an international festival. But the thing I saw, remember as well, because I remember Michelle Madden was on the stage with you guys yesterday in Sydney.
Right.
She was on stage in you 2014. That was good to see because I've been a long-time fan of her. How did she go? Did she kill it?
Always.
Yeah.
She loves
She's
it.
She's great,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
She loves it. We didn't even plan it. She was just standing on the side of the stage and she just came to hang out, you know, and she goes, Matt, can I? And I was like, fucking get up there, do it.
Yeah.
So we didn't plan it or anything. It was just spontaneous.
She comes to a lot of shows and like whenever she comes out, she usually jumps up and has a yell. Yeah. So yeah,
she's got a throat on it, mate.
Oh man, and she can sing like
bloody oath.
Anything like she's gonna do some new music soon, and it's brilliant. I've heard some of the demos and stuff, and she's incredible. She's an incredible musician and an incredible singer, and so keep an eye out for that, Michelle Madden fans.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I'm a fan. Now you've got new music yourself. You've played one. Fuck You and the Horse You Rode In On. The first time I've ever heard that, it made me laugh because it threw me back to my childhood. I remember Pee Wee Herman saying it in Meatballs 2. And he was like, this one and this one. He's like, what's that? It's Fuck You and the Horse You Rode In On. And then you sang about it. I'm like, this is the best. You've been in the studio. You've been working. How long until we see actual new music being released?
Well, we've been writing a lot. So I've been going to Melbourne. I actually live here, but I've been going to Melbourne a lot. We've been just writing heaps of stuff, making sure really trying to make the best songs possible, and it's been an awesome process. We're nearly there, but yeah, just for us, we've just been busting a couple of new ones in the set. We did a different new one at the end of last year, and then we've also had another new one in the set today.
Yeah.
So I remember that was called "Get What You're Given," the opener.
Yeah, I heard that on the boat, on Simo's boat.
No, we didn't play that on the boat. That was "Punish the Runt." So that's another one.
Oh, geez.
So we've been it's sort of it's just a thing.
We're road testing them.
Yeah.
Like, because when a band does their first album, that's all the material they have, and they've played those songs so much live, and it's sick. But then it's like this whole, you got to keep it a secret before you fucking play like new songs. So we're just like, nah, let's just play them. For us. And then we road test, we play them live. It's like, oh, that was really cool. That felt good. Or that didn't work. Or tweak them, whatever. But that's sort of the thing, yeah. Just throw a few newies in.
From an outsider's perspective, I think you're on a winner, because I remember at the Duke gig, you threw one into your sound check. Yeah. And then a bunch of guys just started running around in circles, bouncing up and down. And I'm like, this is just a sound check, guys. And,
yeah. I remember that.
This is the last show. Obviously, you've done your last show on the Knotfest tour.
Right.
Have you got more live shows coming up, or are you going to have a break to focus on the new music?
I think we've got a little bit of stuff coming up. We might be going up to Indonesia to play some shows. Maybe got some shows in Tasmania. You know, just to keep it ticking over and stuff, you know. And then we're going to record next month, so that's the main focus. And then, once we get that going, you know, it'll be video time. It'll be getting the ball rolling to start touring again and get this new record out. That's kind of where it's at the moment. Just sort of taking the focus off playing live so much and just get into the studio and get done.
Yeah, for sure. Look, man, like I said, I found out about you guys. You guys were always listed as a must-see band. I went and saw you. I was hooked straight away. And 10 years later, we're sitting here and you guys have just done one of the biggest tours in the world. So I can't wait to see what's next. It's all up from here.
Yeah, right. Let's
and
do it.
I'll be at any shows that you do in New South Wales, I'll be there. Especially if you go back on that boat, man. I thought that boat was gonna sink.
That was great. That was a great show. I like the idea of everyone being locked on a boat and you can either watch or you can piss off upstairs, but you're there. You have to be there.
Yeah. It was unreal.
I liked it when the boat was kind of like swaying from side to side and everyone just went, whoa.
Yeah.
That was fucking funny.
Try doing blast beats on a swaying boat.
We've got a treat for
you
guys.
We've got a visitor.
Yeah, if you just bring it probably to this shoulder.
Wow, yeah, you put it on your... What, look at the tail
a
on
real,
it. Yeah,
a I'm real on. Parrot.
Oh, look at you go. A king parrot for king parrot.
It's my uncle.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
What a beautiful bird.
He's beautiful. We might call him Slats.
Who's a pretty boy?
Looks a bit like Slats.
Anyways, that was me with King Parrot, these legends. And they've just finished, so they're going to kick back and chill. And
you just got real nervous, didn't you?
I did. I didn't want to upset Slaps and have him flapping in my face. So. No
worries. I reckon you can do some damage too.
Anyway, thanks, lads. Cheers.
Thanks, Wolf. Sam. Yeah, thanks for your support.
Appreciate you.
Yeah,
thank you. Love it.
Thanks, Eve's legends. Yeah, back.
Yes, bird.
Put on your slats. Thank you.
Wall of Sound hanging out at Knotfest right now, asking Alexandria, welcome back to Australia. How are we, lads?
Can't complain. Having a great time.
Good to be back.
It's good to have you here. Now, Sam, Wall of Sound caught up with you at Download Festival over in the UK, where I gave you and Cam $20 and said, please come to Australia. You had no plans, no expectations of coming to Australia. Then all of a sudden you appear on Knotfest.
I said it. It's only going to take $20.
So because of that, you're back in Australia. It's been such a long time since you guys have been here. Yeah. One of the conversations we had at Download was that I never got to see Into the Fire live. Finally saw it live. Big fucking bucket list thing done.
Hell yeah, man.
Feel great to be back and playing all of these songs you haven't played for us before.
Loads, yeah.
It's been like a bunch of albums.
I'm thinking how many albums?
Yeah, I think it's been four. After The Black. So it's four albums, that's 8 years since you've been here.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's nice to play new and old songs, right?
Yeah.
Really mixed up set and it's... it's going down really well.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to... When we sat there in the rehearsal studios, trying to work out what songs we can play, because it's difficult, because Knotfest, we've only got 45 minutes.
Exactly.
So that's why we're just like, go, go, go. trying to play as many songs as we can from as many of the albums, just trying to give everyone
it's
a,
such
like,
a limited amount of time.
It's not easy, man. It's hard. And I guess with you guys doing the two side shows, it opens up a little bit more doors where you can do stuff like that. But yeah, I imagine that it invokes that hunger to want to play more shows like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to come back and do a proper tour, you know, like actually give, you know, more cities, more time. You know,
I think it's on the books.
Let's just far away.
It's
you know,
a mission and a half. Niche, like honestly, because when we caught up, we did Download, then we did Copenhagen and Grass Pop. And by the time we hit Grass Pop, I was ready to fucking throw in the towel. So I don't know how you guys do all those European festivals or do this East Coast tour for Knotfest and play every single day without, you know, getting shit faced every night.
Well, I mean.
I mean, you still do that, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know how you do that either, to be honest.
Yeah. Hey, I was really hungover before the city show. Oh, and
bring a bucket.
I had no business playing the show. The show was just so good.
He was in no condition.
No condition. But the show was great, you know.
Sometimes that's the problem. It's the vicious cycle. It's like you feel. Oh, can I swear?
Yeah, you feel
like shit before you go on, and then you sweat it all out. All your decisions, all the. Everything, it's gone out. So you come off, your adrenaline's going, you feel fine again for the first time in the day. You crack a beer and it just starts.
I mean, you can always do the tactical spew before you get on stage, which always helps in Australia.
That was on the card. I didn't need to, but I was
telling you to, wasn't I? Do it.
Should I do this?
Now, this is your first time down under with the changes in the lineup. Obviously, Ben's left to do his family duties, which wholeheartedly agree. Like, totally. Honestly, there comes a point in your life where you need to focus on family, so we're backing him completely. Getting out and about and doing these shows, obviously missing Ben there. How does that change the dynamics of you guys on stage?
It's definitely different. It's definitely different. But honestly, I think it has been running really, really smoothly. And I think that, you know, like even before Ben left, we could all tell there was a feeling.
He was
ready to go. And that's not like, oh, we don't want you to perform with us. Like, of course, I'd love to perform with Ben. He's like, it's a great friend, great musician, like we enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
we've also been doing this together.
Yeah.
You've got to all be in the right mindset. So him, like, you know, I could feel he was like losing the mindset a little bit.
Yeah.
So
there's a knock-on effect a little bit.
So yeah.
Exactly, because you do it for so long. I mean, you guys tour relentlessly. You release albums, and it gets to that point where you start missing milestones and everything like that. As a father myself, and my son lives 7 hours north from here, so I get to catch up with him every school holidays and stuff like that. But I miss those signature moments of growing up and feel, if I wasn't doing what I was doing down here, I'd be able to spend more time. My heart breaks, but I understand that you've got to do it. So the fact that you guys are all behind him is exceptional.
Yeah,
well done.
He's a brother to us, and we've always said, you know, family first. We're all dads now, as well. We do understand. Like, we haven't got an army like him, but we've got kids.
You've got kids.
So we get it, man.
So does this mean in future you guys might take a bit of a breather from asking Alexandria to do that, or is the momentum going to the point where you can't stop?
I think it's not... It's not that we can't stop, it's just that I think that we all still have the love for it, you know?
Yeah,
definitely.
Good.
And we have the itch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Making music and creating is one thing, but like just being a performer is, you know, just like tonight, man, it was a great show. You know,
I
thoroughly enjoy that, being on stage, performing. Passionate about your craft, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my kids growing up and seeing me do this as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Because how old are they now?
I've got Warren, my oldest, he's 4, and Callum he just turned 2 on the way here.
Right, yeah.
So, they're young.
So still a little bit off before going on the big world tours.
They've seen one show. Well, Warren's seen one show, and he just didn't know what I do. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, I'm looking forward to showing my kids what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Since I was 17 myself, you know what I mean?
But you watch, they're going to get to the age of 8 or 9 or 10 and go, Dad, I don't give a fuck about your band. I want to go play Fortnite.
Right.
Or whatever game is.
Or whatever's big at that point. You know, virtual reality in those years is going to be fucking phenomenal.
I'm going to feel so awesome.
Brand new album, which has come out. Where do we go from here? Where do you go from here?
Well, that was you know, quite a poignant question at the point. It's like, where do we go from here? And you know, I think we've kind of settled on we are, you know, we're going to, you know, Ben has departed, but we are going to go forward.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like he's departed, like, oh, he's never going to be a part
come
of
back,
band.
Yeah, gotcha,
like,
yeah.
He's still a part of the band.
we still talk to him every day.
He's gonna play parts of creation of future projects and stuff. And
it was a question for us as well as you know the like you say, where do we go from here? But I think that like James says, is we've been hitting it hard already this year, harder than we have in a long time. And it was almost like, well, how is it going to go? But it's been going really, really well. It just makes me want to do more.
I was going to say, you can't slow the momentum because you're finally back in Australia after 8 years, and now it's like we've got a taste for it. We want a little bit more. Don't want to be too greedy because we know how fucking far we are from the rest of the world.
It's great, you know, like, we've got our sideshows sold out
so far. It's because of how long it's been since you were down here. Plus, when you got Wage War in the Gloom in the Corner, you're going
to
miss that show.
We've been with those guys for a long time, and it's cool that the first show we've done with them, really, is down here. Yeah. More of that, I think.
It's exceptional for us because it goes down in history of, like, if you weren't at that show, you fucking missed out, and it's on you.
No. The first show was great. Yeah, we've been hanging out with the Wage War boys a bunch. Literally, like, every show.
I mean, you guys are in the room right next to each other as well. So
it's practically one room, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We fly together.
It's been camaraderie between the two camps. You know, we've just been kicking it with one another. And
yeah.
You never know. Like, you know, you just never know if that's going to be the case. Because, like, just because you like a band doesn't mean they're always...
Doesn't mean they're going to be nice or whatever.
So it was really nice. Not a surprise. It just felt good.
Well, I think it all comes down to, you know, being good cunts. If you're a good cunt, then everything goes around well.
A good cunt. There's two bands full of good cunts.
By the way, now that we're not on like heavy topic, look at his knee.
Yeah,
I know.
I we couldn't travel during COVID, so I'm like, let's spend money on this horror movie sleeve. It's so good, isn't it? I feel like they're going back to that whole the scary feeling. I don't look at it and go, this is a joke.
James showed it to me today, actually. It was in the van. I can't wait.
It's going to be sick. I feel like the future of horror is in a good place, just like the future of Asking Alexandria is not slowing down anytime soon.
Nice.
How's that for a fucking segue?
Let's go.
Boys, thank you for coming down under after so long. We've lapped it up every second of you being here. Can't wait for you to come back again. Until that point, take that $20 back. Go spin it on the bar. I don't care. Boys, absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wage War back in the country.
We're here.
We finally see you guys in a festival setting because we've been covering Wage War since 2016 when you first came out with Make Them Suffer. Never played a festival before. What's it been like on this run for
you? It's been amazing. The crowds have been absolutely bananas every day. So
we're coming back.
Yeah.
You're coming back? You are? Yeah. Good. Great. Because everyone always says that when you do your headline shows, your club shows, it's a so much different atmosphere compared to a music festival setting. But also, when you're playing at a festival like this, a lot of my old bloke mates who are, you know, in their 40s, 50s, had no idea who Wage were before, saw you in Sydney, instant fans.
Yeah.
So that's where I guess, you know, playing a festival like this means that you can play to your fans, but then the wider audience. Is that what you've noticed?
Yeah. Back in, like, the States, we got on the KnotFest Roadshow, and we made so many new fans through KnotFest, so we're really appreciative.
I think it's a great place for, like, discovery if people, like, have never heard of us, like... You're literally just swapping stages the whole time.
Yeah, and then the two-stage thing, we had this discussion last year with the bands. Like, you don't have to run around, like, back in the Soundwave days, obviously, which you guys missed. It's like five stages, you know?
Yeah. No, it's beautifully put together. It's mm-hmm. It's been fun for us. And some bands, like, hate festivals. I feel like we love them.
But They're great. Because you guys are obviously young as well, too. Mid-30s, would I dare say? Yeah. So you're
like
the
younger 30s.
Yeah.
Younger 30s. So you're part of that culture that's always, like, go to a music festival, see your favorite bands, and cover new bands. Have you noticed any on this run that you've not come across before?
I've never seen The Who before, which is super sick. Lamb of God's always a treat.
Yeah.
They destroy every day. So that's always fun to watch every night. And Pantera's just, you know.
The gods of the heavy metal from back
when. Yeah, but it's rare to get to see them, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Brad are just backstage going like.
Yeah.
Just nasty stank face.
Just filthy riffs.
Now, I want to actually address this with you boys because a lot of people, a lot of the fans that read Wall of Sound think that, oh, hanging out backstage must be so cool. Everyone's on drugs. There's pools everywhere. But we've noticed this growing trend with metalcore bands, for example, playing Magic the Gathering, and it's not as hectic as it was, you know, back in 10 years ago or whatever it was. For you guys, what do you guys do back here, and are you part of that culture that's playing cards as opposed to drinking?
I definitely partake in some magic.
Yeah, sure. You do, yeah.
We play a criminal amount of Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, we're a bunch of gamers.
Yeah, excellent.
So, yeah, we would be the worst band to make a documentary about Mario Kart. Because literally it's just
on
Mario.
The Switch every
yeah,
day.
It's just Mario Kart. Like, we don't... Yeah, we don't really do anything.
Well, I feel like you could all, you know, instead of gambling, not to encourage gambling kids, all chuck your money in on that and have all the bands have a Mario Kart championship.
Oh, yeah.
That
fun.
Should
be
we
something. We take each other's money.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Exactly. Do that. Now, you guys did something special on this NotFest run. You debuted your new song, Magnetic, around the same time that it actually launched worldwide, which I've never in the existence of doing music media have seen that happen before. Was that intentional?
Why? We played it 15 minutes after
it came out. Yeah.
That was so scary.
Yeah, we kind of ran an audible. We're like, do we play it today? Yes, no. And then we're like, let's do it.
Yeah,
and I was on stage. I'm like, the song came out 15 minutes ago. So
we started rehearsing it like last week. We played Hawaii. And then every show that we've had a soundcheck, we've been rehearsing it and just like trying to get it. It's like, I mean, it's like, it's as good as it's going to get. The rest of it is just being on stage and being comfortable with it. And then when we figured out that it was going to be a 15 minute debut, we're just like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
And see, the thing like that is obviously, you know, you've got your big song, Stitch, everything from Manic, all of that kind of thing, that when you play, you know, you're going to get the response. But to see a song like that for the very first time, take us back to when you played it first in Melbourne. What was that like and seeing the audience being so receptive of it?
It was good. Everyone's kind of bobbing their heads. You know, I don't expect them to know the lyrics.
Straight away, yeah.
But it seemed like everyone liked it.
It was huge for the breakdown. I remember looking at me like, oh, damn.
Yeah, people getting into it, which is great.
Yeah, no,
it's a little bit more of a chiller during our set. You can't just beat their ass the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, because it gets to the point where, you know, we're aging now. We can't watch like we used to, but the new generation of kids, you know, they'll show us all up. Releasing this new song, would you dare say this is part of an album cycle? Is this something to look forward in the future, or is this the first taste of what could be coming?
I'll say this. We've been off for about 7 months doing nothing.
Yeah. So fill in the gaps. You've been playing Magic the Gathering.
We've been playing a lot of
Mario Magic
Kart.
For 7 months straight, nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, no, for now, we put that song out. We really believe in it. We love it. We know that it's different. We know that it's unexpected, and that's on purpose. We know exactly what we did, and we're very excited about it, and cool to see people loving it as well. I mean, I pulled an ear out when we played it yesterday in Sydney, and people are already singing along. Like, it's cool to see our fans like just kind of take the ride with us. You know what I mean? Like, our band does so many different things, whether it's like the more melodic stuff, the heavier stuff, acoustic stuff. It's like, it would be ignorant to think that like that is...
Well, it's a standalone thing, and you're not doing anything for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a song that we love, and we're ready to put out, and who's to say what comes next for, you know, for whatever. But yeah, we love the song. We wanted to put it out, and it's cool to see it.
Yeah, perfect.
Doing its thing.
And then adds into the back catalog. And Wage War have always had this diverse range of music. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're in the metalcore scene, but you can also pull out the, I don't want to call it radio hits, but you know what I mean? Like the songs that are melodic and accessible for people who want to make that transition into heavier music. So they might hear a song like Magnetic and then go back to Manic and go fucking fuck with that album for a bit.
And that's something we've always done since like our first couple records, you know. We've always had like, you know, more melodic stuff, because that's just what we're into. So
Gravity and Stitch on the
Who I Am.
Who I Am. You got Low. You got Hurt. Me Against Myself.
It's not like out of left field. It's something we've always done.
I mean, you look at a band like Beartooth, for example. They put out Love Myself, and the whole scene kind of went, this is different to what I'm used to hearing.
Yeah.
But then over time, it sat with them for a bit, and then it fits so well into the back catalog of music.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, pushing and being different and doing the things that you can to stand out and do something unexpected, because at this point it's damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah, so exactly.
If we were to put out a stock Wage War song, there would be some negative thing about that as if we put out something different.
Do you take that on board? Like, you know, in this day and age with the internet and obviously social media and fan expectations, is this something that Wage War take into consideration in the studio?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much just make what we want at this point. I feel like Manic kind of gave us a lot of freedom, just because like Manic, the track itself was like so scary when we were putting it together, and we just decided to like bet on ourselves, name the album that, name have it be the day of, you know, song push, and it's like since it's came out, it's still the top Wage War song.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
So I feel like we kind of had the freedom to do what we want to do, and it seems like we're at a really good place where our fans and us are at a, like on a good plane of, you like this, we like this, let's just do this
perfect.
Together.
And just as long as you're happy doing it, because the last thing you want to do is go into the studio, make an album that you really don't want to fucking do, and then put it out and have people go, oh, what do they do that for?
Yeah.
You can't win. But as long as you're happy with what you're doing, keep doing it because we're loving it.
Yeah, thank you. 100%.
Now, obviously, everyone wants to know, it's been a hot minute since you guys were last down here doing a trip around the country. Any plans to come back soon?
I would hope.
Yep. Yeah, after the last five shows, I would dare say we're coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that. Keep an eye on socials. Go stream the fuck out of the brand new song, Magnetic. Wage War, thank you for stopping by Wall of Sound.
Thank you.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to go. With two legends of heavy metal, of Mongolian music, Gala and Enkush of The Who. Good morning. How
thank
are you?
You? Thank you. Very good.
Last time you were booked for a festival in Australia, you ended up stranded here for 46 days. Were you apprehensive about coming back?
So it is actually good to be back here. And yeah, given the fact that we've been locked here, trapped here for 46 days, but we really enjoyed beautiful beach Australia, so we had really good time.
Ингээд 3 дахь удаага ирж байгаа. Тэгээд өмнө яг тэр 45 оны дараа бол бид бүхэн бас өөртөө headline show-гаараа бас Австралид ирсэн байгаа. Тэгээд яг энэ удаа бол яг North Fest-ээр ирж байна.
Yeah, after spending 46 days, we came back with a headline show to Australia, and now it's our third time to be back in Australia.
I was at that headline show and it was amazing. It was a holy experience for me. So,
thank you.
In the time since lockdown, you, like you said, you've been back and now you've travelled the world. You've got to work alongside some of your heroes. And I heard that yesterday you were up on stage with Pantera for Walk. How was that for you guys?
Энэ алтар тамтлаг одоо бараг 30 жилийн дараа тоглож байна. Тэгээд энэ бол мэдээж одоо нэг төрлийн хэрэг байлгүй яг хоо. Тэгээд бид бүхнийг бас ингээд хүндлээд тайзан дээр хамт одоо гарна гэдэг бол үнэхээр гайхамшигтай нэг төрлийн хэрэг. Тэгээд бид бүхэн бол бас хоёр дахь удаага энэ дунд дээр гарч байгаа.
Yeah, we stoked to be part of the Pantera song. This is actually the second time we did that in US once, and then it's actually a big honor for us as well. And after they playing after 30 years, so the Panteras, right?
It's 30 years since they were here first, and 23 years since they were here last. So it's a rare honor. Yeah, I'm a bit jealous. So, with your two albums, you've always done a special release where you have guest vocalists, like you've done Lizzie Hale, you had Serj Tankian from System of a Down, Papa Roach, a long list of esteemed artists. Is there anyone that you haven't worked with who would be your dream contributors in the future?
Metallica, Pantera, одоо Lamb of God ч юм уу, ингээм Shuga ч юм уу, ингээд янз бүрээр бид нар бас төсөөлж бодож байгаа.
Yeah, it will depend on our future, but we hope to play with which is dream.
Yeah.
I'm playing with Pantera and
Metallica,
Lamb of God and Metallica.
But Shuga, oh, absolutely. I thought you'd be this much closer since you now shared the stage with Pantera to working with Phil Anselmo. Have you looked at perhaps working with any Australian vocalists for that honour?
Winston Parkway.
Also AC/DC.
Yeah.
It would be awesome, if we could play with them,
With Brian Johnson. Actually, that were on my list was Winston from Parkway. That would be a great collaboration. At Wall of Sound, we have a thing called deathcore karaoke. But I've never had two singers who can do what you guys do. I'm just wondering. And because of your time in Australia, instead of making a song, I've got some Australian sayings. I wonder what it would sound like with your style of singing.
Ah, so it's a karaoke, right? You want
sort
them to
of, yeah,
sing,
but
yeah,
I've got
sort of.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mates.
Bin chicken.
Bin chicken.
Drop bear.
Drop bear.
And the last one is struth.
Struth.
You guys are the best. Yeah, I'm a long time fan. Thank you so much. This is a genuine honour for me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Legends.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Smellinity.
There's not much I can't handle.
Yeah, have you smelled a bus bunk hall?
I thought you said a bucket bong for a second then. I was like, yeah, I've smelled one of those.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years.
The Hall of Farts.
Very similar notes.
Wall of Sound, we're hanging out at Knotfest, and Hailstorm are
here!
Now, we're going to get into this conversation, and I've got a little bit of history to talk about with Hailstorm from the past year. In the past 6 months, 9 months, sorry, I've travelled around the world, and this is my fourth time seeing Hailstorm at a festival.
Wow!
Download Festival, Copenhagen, Grass Pop, and now Knotfest.
Oh, in the time it takes to make a baby.
That's amazing. Exactly. I know.
You've seen us four times.
Yeah. I should be impregnated right now, but
pregnant with
we obviously have to do it first.
It's never too late. Just wait till after our set.
Hey!
You know. We'll put a baby in you.
Hope you're not ovulating.
Now, talking about music festivals, obviously for those in Australia who have only come to festivals here, uppercut yourself, there's a big wide world out there. To play in front of 100,000 people at the likes of Download, Grass Pop, and then to come here, it's a bit more of a boutique kind of setting. I'm guessing the atmosphere is still the same from day dot.
Oh, of course. Well, what I love about this festival, and especially like just being here in Australia, is that there really is the you can connect with the individual faces. It's not just the monster of a crowd that you're just kind of like trying to tame with just the four of us. Like everybody's just in it, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We experienced that a little bit yesterday as well. Whereas it doesn't matter like the crowd of people, everyone is just engaged with their eyeballs. So I can kind of pick through everyone.
And point them and they go, oh my God, Lizzie looked at me.
Well, and that's
RJ's sitting at the back and he's looking at me.
It is my favorite thing in the
watching.
World because I can see pretty far. And so like I'll pick like eight rows in to the guy looking at me and then I'll be like, hey, oh yeah, no blue hair. Hi. And he's like, wait, what, me? And it's like, it's the best thing. I
and then you change his life because of that acknowledgement out of everyone there, you pinpointed
it's
him.
It's all
out.
About you, buddy.
I've seen some green hairs in the crowd.
Yeah.
I'll be darned, it's catching on.
It's starting a trend. Did you get it from
putting
the snot back?
Yep.
That was the inspiration.
Just stop shampooing.
I've not said that since primary school.
That's so funny.
That's bringing me back.
Hey, RG, does the carpet match the curtains?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe.
Let's find out later on in the uncut version. Now, your love affair with Australia has been happening for quite a few years as well. You were only just here last year. Now you're here in a festival setting. What are you taking from this run as you leave Australia with this last date here at Knotfest and remembering when you depart and get on that plane?
For me, it all kind of came to a head yesterday because we're surrounded by all of these wonderful men that a lot of them had taken us out as an opening band way back in the day. And so it's just such an honor to be surrounded by them. And then we're the same band we always were. We don't use tracks. There's no miming. We plug in, we play. It is this human element that we are very proud of. And to see all of these men, the likes of Disturbed and all of the guys from Lamb of God have all come up to me and have expressed this love for what we do. So it's kind of this beautiful full circle, and we have such gratitude toward all of the people that have given us a shot and that have opened their lives up to us. And then that bleeds into the fans. There are super fans in the front row that have been coming to see us for how many shows now? Every single festival, every single headline show we've had here.
At the airport.
So it's a family reunion, and so there's this beautiful camaraderie that I don't know if anybody really talks about or really knows about, as far as if you're just a fan coming to the festival, that this is part of the reason why we come back. And I have to tell you, so we've been in both flights now have been the entire cast of Knotfest in a turbulent plane, and we're like, right now, we're like, well, if we all go down together. Knotfest is not going on.
What a way to go.
But the beautiful thing about that, though, is that we're Peggy all too. Perpetually like 15 years old. Yeah. So it feels like we're going on this school trip and we're all making fun like of each that. Other and having a great time. So it's been beautiful.
Well, obviously with Lizzie being the ferocious femme fatale that we know and love, is she the one that's always pulling you guys into line, or is she the loose one who's got to drink with the fans like you said to us last time?
I think we all keep each other in line. I don't know. You know what? You guys tell me.
Every day is, we try our best to get a head shake out of Lizzie. Like, oh my
disappointment. God. We try to disappoint her.
If we've often? Done that, we have succeeded.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's happened at least 3 times today. We're going for a 4th before the show. Yeah.
I think we can.
Little disappointment.
When you play a festival set, obviously we've mentioned this before, like the wider demographic of audience are coming in and seeing you guys on a much bigger stage, much bigger atmosphere. What's the difference between that and, like, say, for example, the Sideshow, where it was a much smaller, intimate venue where you can have these up-close and personal experiences? Do you prefer the big ones like this around the world?
You know, it's they're two totally different animals. Whereas the headline show, the Sideshows...
That's a kangaroo.
Whereas these are more like a koala.
Yeah, exactly. you know, with the headlining shows, you're past the handshake. Yeah. So we can bring everybody a little bit more in, play some deeper cuts, tell some stories for some of the people that obviously are coming to just see us. Now, at the festival, it's not lost on us that there's a lot of people, probably about 40% of the people that have not heard us yet. Yeah. So you got to kind of bring your A game. And we're always like of the notion, we're like, okay, so how do we screw up the set tonight? How do we make a moment happen? And a lot of the times it's us flying by the seat of our pants in the moment on stage. So it's just such an adventure to just go out there and be like, okay, it could be a complete train wreck or it could be a magical moment that will never happen again. And you're all here to witness it.
Maybe a little bit of both.
What I really want from Hailstorm is a bit of uncomfortableness, because such a fucking anthemic song that when you play that at a music festival, it's going to go nuts. And who knows, there might be something uncomfortable you come across in the mosh pit, for example.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, yesterday it was a lot of dinosaurs, a lot of people dressed up like dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
We've had mosh pit Jesus. We've had crowd surf Santa Claus.
You gotta look out for those mosh pit boners. That's uncomfortable. Yeah, very uncomfortable.
Hey, guys, keep it strapped. Keep it strapped in. We don't want any accidents here at the Rock Show.
And RJ, being at the back of the stage itself, do you feel like you're missing out because you don't get to have
that
experience?
No, it's awesome.
Have you seen the kid play? He's practically the front man. He's just playing through me. I'm just his hype man.
No, at a show of this magnitude, it really doesn't matter whether I'm 6 feet forward or back. I can see everything, and it's the energy, the rush you get is unmatched by anything. And I think that's what's so special about these big festivals like this.
Yeah. Well, it's good to actually have you back in Australia. Countless albums that you've released so far, and we've been able to catch up with you on plenty of them so far. What's the future holding? I mean, I don't want to talk about new music because you're obviously sitting on the album that you've just put out. So what's the future holding? Let's say later on this year for Hailstorm.
No, we can talk about new music. We're actually almost finished writing a record.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm, not bullshit.
A band
happening.
That just doesn't fucking stop.
It's happening.
Lizzie Hale, she's full of shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, you and John Denver. We talk about this a lot. We are lifers. Every decision we make is life or death for this band. There is a love and a trust that we have with the four of us. We write every single day. We are always working on new music. And we're about to go in and finish our next record, and then we'll be back here before you know it.
We'll be back.
It's just never stopping. Well, if you can move down here, I mean, rental prices are a bit shit at the moment.
I'm so close.
Don't tempt me.
This whole experience has been so magical for me that I literally have teased that on stage at our last side show. I'm just like, you may just find me here sooner than later.
Perfect. You know? Well, let's find you a house in Logan, and then we'll set you up there.
I was going to say, you have a spare bed, right?
I do.
You're a realtor?
I don't take up much space. Just a little air mattress.
We'll ask my boyfriend just to get out of the bed for the night, and then, I'll get
Come
you.
On, buddy,
oh, that's very
go.
Nice. Very kind.
So nice.
All right, before we wrap it up, Hailstorm's one word. Please wrap up your experience in Australia, one word each, because I know you're sitting up the other end there and you haven't said much.
Got
pressure's on you. It's going to be perfect.
Heaps.
Josh?
Crikey.
I gotta say, when it comes to the food, delicious.
Oh, that was lame.
What?
Boo.
Have you eaten the food out here? It's delicious.
I know.
And nutritious.
I know.
Tastes like chicken.
This is one word to us. Siggy Butt Brain.
Yes! See, the culture here is so different.
I got a new one.
Oh, no, we got a top and stuff.
YOLO!
Yeah!
All right, so in terms of Australian colloquialisms and all that kind of word there, can we just get, before we wrap it up, have fun, shit cunts. See you next time.
Have fun, shit cunts.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Hailstorm, we fucking love them. Thank you for stopping by Wall of Sound. Thank you for coming back. We'll see you soon. Dan from Disturbed, welcome back to Australia.
Thank you very much
for stopping by Wall of Sound. This is a long time coming, just so you know.
Very long, yeah.
Flashing back to the year 2016 was supposed to be your first festival appearance down under with the ill-fated Soundwave. To come back and be part of such a monumental brand like Knotfest, what's it mean to be able to jump on stage and perform for the plethora of fans that are turning out for this run?
It's amazing. I mean, we've been coming to Australia from the very beginning of our career, and obviously once COVID hit and set things back, I mean, and not being here for 8 years, we were definitely missing being in this part of the world and playing, and to be asked to come back here and be part of Knotfest, great opportunity, so many great bands, good friends of ours. You know, we've known, you know, Zach Wilde and Pantera guys for our whole career, and to be able to share the stage with them, and anytime it's a festival environment, it's always great because we get to see other bands that we don't get to see as often back home, or we only see every couple of years because everybody's off doing their own thing. So that festival kind of brings us all together. So it's pretty
exciting. Like the big family catch-ups, as everyone always says. Now, I'm a big fan of Disturbed from way back in high school. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. But watching you on social media and joking the other day about Fortnite made me realize, as a dad myself as well, you're just like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I bring up Fortnite is because Disturbed are now part of the Fortnite universe with Down With The Sickness being added to that. Does that mean anything to you?
It's great. I don't do it as much. I'm sure to my son, he loves it. But, you know, anywhere where our music could be heard and put out there, the more the better.
Yeah.
So we've had, throughout our career, people, whether it was on Guitar Hero or any other video games and that, you know, just another outlet for our music to get heard.
And I guess, you know, being a father yourself, do you have your son going, oh, Dad, it's lame, don't make a big deal out of it kind of thing? Or is he genuinely excited to have you on there and tell all his friends about it?
He's probably not all that impressed. Yeah. So. He gives me a hard time. You know, he keeps me grounded, well grounded. But, he loves the band. He's grew up on the road, him and my daughter, out on the road as much as they could when they were younger. You know, but now he's, you know, that 16-year-old, point in his life, he's got better things to do with his buddies and that. I'm good when he needs, when him or my daughter want tickets to see, like, you know, Drake or, you know, Kanye or something like that.
That's when Dad comes in
I mean, they love, you know, they grew up around rock music, so they love this stuff too, but they've been around it for, you know, their whole lives. So, when they get the perks of some of the other acts that they're
you get
into,
to go see, cool perks. By association, that's when that works.
Right.
Now, dating back to high school, I guess, you know, with the wave of new metal that came out in the mid-2000s, we saw bands like Limp Bizkit, Korn coming through the mainstream outlets. Mm-hmm. Disturbed are one of those bands that always remained the black sheep of that kind of era. Like, you didn't really get too much airplay in Australia from my recollection back then, but it became such a cool thing to be part of because, much like new metal, you were the soundtrack for the Misfits.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely, because at that time, we came out at the same time as a lot of those bands. And, I don't really like labels, but it is what it is. And you know, we grew up around, you know, that time, too, to be a part of a lot of those big festivals, Ozfest and all that stuff we did back in the States. And a lot of great bands came from it. But, you know, our roots from our band, you know, we grew up on mostly classic hard rock bands. You know, Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Metallica, Pantera. All
the greats, all the best ones.
All the greats. But, you know, we somehow navigated our way through it and just kept doing what we do. We did kind of somewhat feel like the black sheep because it was a longer journey, I feel, but we've always been climbing that mountain. You know, it didn't have to come fast, and that's fine. We had to earn it. A lot of it was just being on the road and tour, and just keep on trying to connect with that live audience, and, you know, it just built over time.
And releasing the albums that
changed significantly, but also still harked back to the early years. Like, for example, Sickness and Believe, mm-hmm. two fantastic albums that come out of the gate swinging, to then put out your latest album, Divisive, yeah. which threw back to that era. For me, as a fan, it's like, it doesn't matter what you put out because that signature sound will be there. When I listen to you and your guitar solos, mm-hmm. that's you. That's Dan from Disturbed. And nothing thank will ever get in the way of that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, it's tricky. It's such a weird business, a tough business, because it's hard for not only bands. How many bands have like a one-hit wonder, and or they do one or two albums, and then, you know, they didn't build, you know, that career on the road. Yeah. They build that fan base. And so for any band to try to sustain it for as long as we have is very challenging. But the key, in my opinion, for us is you can't – there's no secret formula. You can't guess it, and you can't just try to cater to – that audience. You just got to do what you got you there in the first place, and that's writing for ourselves. Where we write about things that mean something that are personal to us, and it's, you know, that's all I'm worried about are the four guys in the band of how we feel about it. We can't chase it and say, what do we think radio wants, or back in the day, what MTV wants, or anybody wants. We just say, we just write it for us.
Yeah, good.
And
yeah.
we feel if we're wearing our heart on our sleeve, there's going to be people that they, you know, connect with it. They find something within the message they can relate to.
And the thing that I'm loving about this as well, too, is all the dads from back in the day are now bringing their kids along. Are you noticing that with a lot more of the shows?
Oh, for sure. It's great. I mean, to see that next generation of kids. And you know, we talk about it all the time because here we are, you know, going on almost 25 years. Next year will be the 25th anniversary. And know that some of those, you know, moms and dads back then that were seeing us that are, like you said, coming, showing up with their kids now and bringing them out. It's great. It's good to know that it's, you know, going to the next generation of kids.
And as long as you keep doing what you're doing, especially when it comes to the covers. So Disturbed are a fantastic rock band in your own regard, but you've always done those interesting or left field covers, which I guess you could say made you a household name outside of metal. So Sound of Silence, Shout, Land of Confusion.
Right.
Would you ever appeal to the new generation of fans who are coming along to the shows with their parents and do like a Taylor Swift cover?
You know, I really wouldn't rule out anything. It just really depends on... For me personally, you know, our songs are always start off with me presenting, you know, a music idea to David and to the guys, and then David will work on a melody. When it comes to a cover, we don't just cover. It takes a long time because we really... The important things to me are first the lyrics and the message. Is there something that we connect with lyrically on it? And then the next thing is musically. Is there something where I feel I could... change it enough. I wouldn't want something that's too signature musically, like Stairway to Heaven. I wouldn't want to change the guitar part. Yeah, you know, I'm like, I probably wouldn't want to touch that one. I'm not saying I never would, but that one is at the bottom of the list because it's too signature. But stuff like Land of Confusion, it was very syncopated. I was able to write a riff to that and just put our stamp on it. So, you know, I'm definitely open to the ideas of any genre of music of just, I like the challenge of trying to pay tribute to something in our respects to the original songwriter, but do enough of our own, put our own stamp on it.
Yeah, and that's what you need. I mean, there's lots of people out there that do covers and it sounds exactly the same, but when you've done a cover, you've turned it into your own. And in some cases, I reckon it's better than the original. In terms of Shout, I would much rather listen to yours than Tears for Fears. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Funny story, when we were demoing that, before we had a record deal in the late 90s, and we were in the studio demoing it. We were just a local band out of Chicago. And we went out to dinner, and Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears happened to be sitting next to us at a table. How coincidental is that?
Could that happen?
Like, holy shit, that's bizarre. And he came out to the studio, and like I said, we were just a local band. We're nothing.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, we're covering one of your songs. Would you, you know, you have any interest in hearing it? And he came to the studio in the middle of the night, you know, and heard it. And he was pretty blown away by our interpretation of it. We were pretty nervous because you're playing it for the guy who, you know, wrote the song.
Yeah, exactly.
And sang it,
yeah.
And we didn't want him to turn around and be like, what the hell did you do to my song? You know, so that would be the worst thing. But, you know, but anyways, we got his blessing and it was cool. You know, I'm glad that we're glad that he liked
it. I'm glad that you did it too, because it really opened up a whole lot of world for people that want to get into heavier bands but weren't quite ready to take on the heaviness of that, if that makes sense. So that kind of covering those bands and those songs is that crossover to bring people into metal world. And there's a lot of people out there, myself included, who went down that path.
Yeah.
Now we're sitting in 2024, 3 Grammy nominations, 8 albums in. Where do you foresee Disturbed going in terms of goal-wise? Like, is the Super Bowl something that you would love to achieve in the US?
I mean, you know, there's so many things I just want to keep achieving because I'm so passionate about doing it. I love writing. I love creating with the guys that I'm with. We love being on the stage, and we still have that hunger for it, that adrenaline rush. And that crowd, that's our drug of choice, being on that stage and that exchange. So, I mean, you know, of course, anything that gets us on the big stage, if we're playing the Super Bowl someday, of course that would be huge.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah.
I'm a huge American football fan, you know, growing up anyway, so that would be a big highlight in our career. But, you know, if that stuff doesn't happen, that's fine. It's not like it has to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just glad to be able to sustain a career this long and to keep continuing to do it.
It's a monumental achievement that Disturbed have had after all this time. You're a household name. You're changing lives. You are defining yourselves in a career that most people would normally put two albums out and then disappear and not do anything else. But the fact that you keep coming back and having that Disturbed signature sound, don't stop. Because we love it.
Thank you.
It's been way too long since we've had you in Australia. Can't wait for you to come back. Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. This is Wall of Sound, and this is fucking Dan from Disturbed. And that brings us to the end of Wall of Sound taking on Knotfest. Dwayne, highlights from the day?
The Who and King Parrot, definitely, like those two interviews doing that. Getting to see King Parrot on the stage to start the day. Those guys were on the up and up. They've just had a huge year, like supporting Pantera in America and in Australia. And if the new music is anything to go by, the next album's going to be an absolute monster.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that. Thank you again for checking us out. Don't forget, like, subscribe, follow us across all of our socials, and we'll see you again at another music festival in the future. I'm Brownie.
I'm Dwayne.
And this is Wall of Sound.
See ya.